is the Sensitive CEO Show, igniting sensitive entrepreneurs to grow your heart-centered business. I'm your host, Rose Cox, and this podcast shares with you inspiring and thought-provoking conversations for sensitive entrepreneurs wanting to grow a sustainable online business in a way that feels exciting and aligned with your soul. Along with my carefully curated expert guests, we share science-backed advice, proven strategies, and the systems we use to succeed in our businesses and our lives as highly sensitives, introverts, and empaths. And by the way, if you would like to be updated on when each episode is released, feel free to subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll also get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. To subscribe, pop on over to the website sensitiveceo.show or rosecox.com/pod. Now on to today's show. Hey, it's Rose, and welcome to another episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. And in this week's episode, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Krista Walsh. Krista is a website copywriter and strategist, helping client-based businesses turn their websites into lead-generating machines. Welcome, Krista. Wonderful to talk to you today.
Thank you for welcoming me. I'm excited to be here.
I would love for you to share with the audience, what got you into what you do now?
I started several years ago as a freelance writer and editor. So I was doing basically anything anyone would hire me for. So a lot of weird projects. I even did some like ghostwriting of novels and stuff like that. Mm. So that sort of gives you an idea of like the breadth of what I was doing. And then every year I kind of niched further and further till a couple of years ago when I settled on what I do now, which is exactly what you just read out, website copywriting.
Mm-hmm. And have you always liked writing?
Yes, it was definitely a passion, a gift that was probably I discovered it when I was a pretty young kid, and I always knew I wanted to do it in some way. Yeah.
Well, it's such a good skill to have. And before we hit record, we were chatting and I was saying to you, for HSPs, being able to write our own copy, I think, is such a good skill to have because we don't necessarily like being on video. We don't like some of the other marketing things to do, but being able to write copy or, you know, blog posts even is such a good skill to have.
Yeah. I mean, even if you believe that you're a terrible writer, you are going to end up writing a ton as a business owner, unfortunately for you, I suppose. You just can't get around it until you're at that level when you can like have a team come in and do all of the writing for you.
Yeah, that's so true, because it's not just the website copy, it's then the blog posts, if you're writing regular blog posts and emails that, you know, if you've got an email list, and then of course social media posts, there is quite a bit of writing to do as a business owner.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like foundational stuff, like you're going to get asked for your bio all the time, which you have to write, or like things like a mission statement or anything. You're just going to get asked a ton in the process of marketing yourself. And that's all copy.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you got any tips for the people listening today who want to get into a bit more writing but aren't necessarily doing much now?
Tips in terms of like how to write more?
Yeah, or tips of, I guess, how to, or where to start, like where to start to find your voice as a business owner, especially as a sensitive business owner.
Yeah. So my biggest piece of advice is to go to your clients and customers and see how they're talking about your company and how they're talking about your products and services. That's something I'd recommend for everybody, but particularly people who feel kind of gun shy about like, what do I say? You know, I don't want to rub people the wrong way. I don't know what my voice should be. And there's just like a lot of stuff you can get caught up in really quickly in terms of copywriting. Like you feel like it has to be perfect. So my advice would be to like take yourself out of the equation and just go to the source and figure out what they're saying. And there are practical ways you can do that. The easiest way, like let's say you're really new and you haven't had a ton of customers or clients, the easiest way would be to do something called like review mining. So you can go on to like similar companies' websites and see what their reviews are saying and like notice patterns and how people are talking about the outcomes they've received. You could go on forums like Reddit to see how people are talking about, like, let's say you're a coach, right? You could go in there and see how people are talking about the coaching industry and what kind of problems they're experiencing. If you have had past clients or customers, you can, of course, look at your own reviews or your own feedback forms. But my number one recommended way, which is a bit more intense, is to actually interview people that you've worked with. People tend to talk in interviews a lot differently than they might write about something. It's a lot less polished. So you're really getting this like flow of consciousness type of information, which is really helpful when you're trying to write to like problems you solve or like motivations people have for seeking someone else out like you, right? I know that's a big ask for a lot of people. It feels a little scary, myself included. So I actually had my virtual assistant do it. I didn't want to do it. So I had her interview all my past clients. And that way I still get the information, but I don't have to like do it awkwardly with them. So
that's such good advice. I love that. And then do you record the interview and get it transcribed? How do you then mine the sort of information, the wording and everything from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. Yeah. So I do these interviews for all of my clients' projects that I'm working on when I'm working on their website copy. Yes. And I record them. I usually do them over Zoom or sometimes on a phone call, and I'll just record it, take the audio, use a transcription service. The one I use is Scribi, but there are a ton. There's like Rev, there's Otter, there's so many like software that will do it for you. And then I take those transcripts, and that's what I'm using when I'm looking for like, how do people talk about this? How do they talk about themselves? How do they talk about their motivations for seeking this type of company out?
Mm, I love that. So would you also do a survey, you know, send out a survey form and then take the answers? I know you said that the interviews and the spoken word is a lot easier. Well, you get better words from it, better copy. But if someone really didn't want to do that, would you then do a survey?
Yeah. So I have in the past, occasionally, if somebody really doesn't want to ask for the interviews, or sometimes it's like I did have one client because she was in the mental health field and she felt like she couldn't ask people to be recorded when they're talking about their experience. So she did an anonymized survey. So that way there wasn't any like HIPAA violations. So yeah, the thing with the surveys, the information you get is definitely not as good. People sometimes you'll get lucky and people will like pour their heart out on the page. A lot of people will just like write a sentence or like a couple of phrases. And so you really have to, and you don't have the opportunity to ask follow-up questions, particularly if it's anonymous. So if you are going the survey route, my advice would be to send it to as many people as possible. So like with the interviews, I usually cap it at 5 to 6 because that's, it just gets really time intensive.
Yeah.
But with surveys, I would say send it to everybody you can, right? So that you, to account for, you're going to get some people who just are going to barely respond.
Mm. Great advice. Thank you. What are some introverted or HSP-friendly ways of writing copy?
Yeah, I love this question because I noticed when I got into the copywriting world and even marketing and online business more broadly, I kept seeing the same type of copy put out, like exalted as like the example of what good copy, quote unquote, is. And it was mostly about brand voice. Frankly, it was mostly about these brand voices that were either like super bold or kind of edgy, or maybe they were like super bubbly, whatever, like that variation of like a very high energy, probably extroverted personality. And I didn't resonate with that at all because I'm way more reserved. I definitely do not write with like a lot of exclamation points, or I don't like throw in like curse words. I don't make a ton of jokes like when I'm personally writing my own copy because it doesn't feel aligned with my personality. So I've actually done a lot of thinking into, okay, how do we talk about how to write copy in a way that feels aligned with people who are more sensitive or who are empaths or who just have a more like quieter personality. So I have six strategies and we can kind of go through them if you're interested.
Yeah, I would love. I would love for you to share them. Thanks, Krista.
Okay, so the first one is using hesitant language. So this is one that you'll often see talked about as like a no-no in copywriting. Like if you ever take a course or like read a blog post, people are always like, be bold, like don't hedge. Like, but I say go for it. I think it can convey like hesitant language. By that, I mean things like saying maybe or perhaps or maybe you're feeling this way. You might be thinking this right now, like just these caveats that sort of are you admitting that you don't actually like know exactly how someone's feeling or you don't actually have the answers. I think it's just a really easy way to add a level of nuance and to slow the pace of your writing that goes counter to a lot of advice that's just like you have to be bold all the time. And if that doesn't align with you, you don't have to do it. And I think it also gives the reader a sense of safety. At least readers who are HSPs will read that and feel a little bit safer. Like you're not trying to tell them how to feel. You're not trying to like overpromise. To me, it conveys a level of honesty and nuance.
Yeah. And that's super important. I love that you brought up the safety thing because it's so important for us as HSPs to feel that it's a safe space and it's someone that we want to work with and someone who we want to align with as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in conversation, HSPs tend to be really good at responding to energy in the room, right? So if somebody is feeling like a little hesitant, you're not going to like lean forward and like push something onto them. And in copy, obviously, you don't know how somebody is feeling when they're going to be reading it. So that's why when I write like sales pages for myself, for example, or like sales email sequences, I tend to err on the side of let's be hesitant and more gentle with the sales pitch because I don't know how somebody is going to be, what state they're going to be in, you know?
I love that. That's so thoughtful. It's a, that thoughtful is the word that comes to mind. I think it's beautiful. So that's the first strategy. What's the second one, Krista?
The second one is just to say what you mean. So again, I think when we look at copywriting examples and we look at how to do copywriting, we can get really caught up in the words. Like the words have to be punchy. Like we have to like be really engaging with our sentences. And maybe we have to like throw in some jokes or we have to like write in a particular way. So if you're feeling any kind of like, I don't know how to do that, you don't have to do that, actually. The most powerful part, like as a professional copywriter, most of what I do is the messaging piece. So actually uncovering like, what are the pain points? What is the unique selling, you know, aspect of this product or service? And I think you can just, if you figure out those things, you can just like say that. Like you don't have to worry about how it sounds as much as you think you do. So I would spend less time on the voice, less time on, you know, how punchy your writing sounds and way more time on understanding, like if, you know, if you're having a conversation with somebody, like what are they, what kinds of like actual information about how you work or what you do will resonate with them?
Yeah. I love that one because there's nothing worse when someone beats around the bush and you're reading something and it's like, get to the point. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that is another point. I see a lot in email copywriting, I think particularly where like so many sales emails will start with a very long story. Mm. And then at the end, they will pivot into the pitch. And partly it's because I'm in marketing. So like I get a lot of those, but I don't know. I wonder if there is some like general audience fatigue with that kind of rhetoric. Like I'd much prefer somebody just like give me the sales pitch so that I can like have the information and then I can make a decision instead of reading a story that I know isn't really a story, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're telling a story just for the sake of the story, that's a different story. But
yeah. So what is the third one?
So the third one is kind of what I opened this interview talking about, to focus on what we call in the marketing world voice of customer, not your voice. Not to say if you have a really strong voice and you want to, you know, be strong with that in your copywriting, absolutely. But it can be helpful for HSPs who, not all HSPs, but a lot of us tend to have like softer personalities, like that don't have the hard edges, that aren't like the people who like walk into a room and own it necessarily right away. So if you have like less of a strong personality and you're not sure how to like write copy with that kind of thing, this is where focusing on your client's points of view can be really helpful. It just takes the lens off you, puts it on them, and doing that through the interviews and the surveys and stuff I talked about. And in my opinion, that's what a lot of us HSPs do naturally in conversations, is we're not coming in like, often we're not the people like cracking jokes in the center of the tension, but we're the people having like really intimate connections in the corner, because we're really good at listening and we're really good at like reflecting back to people what they're giving us and like matching energy. So that's why I think that one's a really good strategy.
Yeah, I love that one. And it's, as you say, we're using the gifts that we already have, and we are such good listeners. So yeah, really lean into that. I love that. So what is the fourth one?
The fourth one is to share your story. So this is pretty self-explanatory, but if you are feeling skittish about doing any kind of selling, oftentimes if you have a service or a product and you're an entrepreneur, a lot of us got into that business because we experienced the problem and then we figured out how to solve it. And now we're shepherding others through that same journey. So if that kind of is your story too, then that lends itself really well to a natural way of selling what you do without it being like quote unquote sales copy. Like you can just share your experience. You're not trying to get into someone else's head at that point. You're just saying like, here's what I went through. Here's how I figured it out. And that's what I can help you do. And that is so powerful because, I mean, that's why like we relate to movies and stuff, because we see ourselves in the stories of others.
Yeah, I love that one. And it's, I guess it's being vulnerable as well, because a lot of us have been in those places that we have struggled, but we are often, our clients are ourselves many steps behind us, or sometimes just a few steps. So yeah, I love that one. And I think when you're sharing your voice or your story, it's actually coming from you. It's not someone else's idea, or it's, yeah, I love that one. So that,
yeah, exactly. What, yeah.
What's number five?
Number five is to stand for something. So this one can be a way to get some bold messaging into your copy without like faking a personality that's not yours, or like an energy or disposition that's not yours. Is if you care about something deeply that's related to your company. So I know a lot of HSPs, we feel stuff deeply, and a lot of us started our companies because of a larger problem that we see, like a collective struggle that's going on. And we're like, we've got to help people bring that to life. So if you stand for something, you could make that actually like a central piece of your messaging. And I feel like that would come really naturally for you if it, you know, if it is true for you, right?
I love that one. What would be an example? Like, do you have an example of what you stand for?
Let me think about that really quick. Can I give an example of a client of mine? Because I think hers is a stronger.
Yeah.
So she's a mindset coach, like working with the subconscious for actors. And so what she stands for is, this is also kind of her personal story coming in here too, but she struggled as an actor, like being successful for a long time because of mindset blocks that were getting in her way, stemming from a lot of like negative past experiences she'd had, even to the point where she was like diagnosed with some chronic illnesses related to that. And so she basically healed herself through understanding these modalities and working with other practitioners. And she realized that that was the pathway to her success. And now she sees other actors struggling with that too, and she jumps in to help them. So I guess what she stands for is, you know, not just helping people with the financial side of things or like the practical side of things, which there are so many companies out there like helping actors like with their craft as an actor, or like how to get an agent type of practical stuff. And she's like, believes in going to the root and solving the problems within first. And that comes through really strongly in her messaging.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess it goes back to the sharing your story as well, because she's been there, so she can help people through their own journey.
Yeah, it also did relate to that really strongly too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. So what is the sixth strategy? I'm loving these strategies, Christina. Brilliant.
Thank you. So number six is to go for substance and clarity over style. So this goes back to the earlier conversation we were having about like, okay, copywriting isn't just about the words, and it isn't just about like, this word is like punchier than that word, or this word is like cleverer, or like, do I need to throw a joke in here, or like people getting lost in the writing. There's obviously some of that in there, but if your primary goal is to really just share the substance of what your message is and aim for clarity, like make sure like if somebody reads this homepage, there is no way that they're going to read this and not understand like what I do, what the outcome is for my clients, and what makes me different from like the next person down in Google search results, for example, right? Like, so if you can get there with the clarity, you are 90% of the way there. And then at that point, if you want to like come in after and you want to look at the style and like punch it up a bit, you're totally welcome to do that. But I think going for clarity first can be really helpful for people who are struggling to get started, who are feeling kind of gun shy about copywriting because it feels like it has to be this like really fun or like really engaging, quote unquote, thing that has to be like really great and like Don Draper wrote it or something. It really doesn't. It's really just about like making sure people get what you're saying.
Brilliant. I love this framework. And I think it's such a good framework to follow when you're starting out, or even when you're a seasoned copywriter, I guess, having all of these in mind, all these six strategies in mind.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wanted to ask, a big part of copywriting is SEO, search engine optimization. How important do you think it is when you're writing, say, your front page of your website or your about page or even a blog post?
Yeah, so it depends. If your goal is to get traffic through Google, it's obviously incredibly important. So SEO is a focus of mine when I do website copy projects, but not for every client. Sometimes clients come in and they're like, I don't really need a rank on Google because I have like 50,000 LinkedIn followers. Like there's just like no reason for me to like do that. Or they have some other like marketing channel that's working really well for them, so they're not all that interested in it. Or they're in an industry where they're not niched enough for it to make sense. Like a really common one I see is if you're like a business coach, but you have no, there's not really a niche yet. Like you're just like, I just coach anyone right now because I'm still figuring it out. Like don't try to like do SEO for like the phrase business coach, because at this point in 2022, when we're recording this, you're not going to be able to rank for that term. It's way too general. So wait until you have like a thing that you do that's specific enough that people who are Googling for it are definitely your ideal clients and you're able to rank for it. And if that's the case for you, go for it. You know, absolutely. It's important.
Yeah, I love that advice. I'm so glad I asked that question. It was a curly one that I threw in, but I think that's really helpful because so many people believe that SEO is the be all and end all, that they have to SEO their website. And as you pointed out, it's not always relevant for everyone. So brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, not always. If it is, it can work really well for you. I mean, for me personally, Google is my main source of leads for my business. So it works really well for me. And for many of my clients, like especially if you have a local based business, you have a really good shot of ranking because, you know, your market is suddenly like just your city or just your region and not all of the world.
Yeah.
So that can be a good hint that you might be in a good place. Like if you're a photographer in like Baltimore, you know, maybe you can rank for photographer, like wedding photographer Baltimore, you can probably get there. Mm. Yeah. And it can be huge for you if it works.
Yeah, definitely. I've had most of my leads come from SEO as well. So I know the power of it. It's amazing. But the local search is so much easier, isn't it, than worldwide?
It is. I will add one thing to this because you mentioned blogging. So let's say you are somebody and you're like, God, I would really like to get traffic from Google, but I am somebody who it's just impossible for me to rank my homepage or my services page because I don't have a niche, or because like the market is so saturated that it's just like, I can't compete with the companies. I've been trying. It's not working. Your blog can be a way in. It's a little more indirect because it's not people who are like searching to like hire a coach or like searching to like hire a financial advisor right away, but they might be searching for a topic related to what you do. They'll find your article, which will be much easier to rank because it's like a much like more niche keyword for a blog post. And then they'll read your blog post. If they like it, maybe they'll reach out right away. Most likely what they would do is like join your email list and then they'll stay on there for a couple of months and eventually become a client. So it's like way less of a direct path, but you can definitely grow an audience that way too through Google.
Mm, brilliant. Thank you for adding that in. That's really important to remember. So this has been amazing. I've loved everything you've shared today. And I have one final question before we wrap up that I ask all of my podcast guests. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
The number one thing I do is take a walk. Not terribly exciting, but that's probably what I do the most in those cases.
I love that. Yeah. That's one of my passions is walking too. I know it doesn't sound exciting, but it is. If you love walking, then it is exciting. You never know what you'll see when you're out there.
Yeah, there's something about like forward motion. And also day to day, I feel like my face is always like my eyes are always looking at something like 12 inches ahead of my face at most, usually, you know. And so when you're walking, you just get that like long gaze going that I don't really get outside of my walks, honestly. So I think that's partly why it helps. It's just like a state change. My eyes are focused on other things, you know.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I will pop all of your links into the show notes. And if anyone wants to reach out, they'll know exactly where to find you. Thank you again, Krista.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rose.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Sensitive CEO Show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you think it would be useful to someone else, please leave me a review on sensitiveceo.show. Just follow the prompt in the menu. Each month, I'm offering one lucky reviewer a chance to win a one-hour business and mindset audit with me. This in-depth audit covers the five pillars of your online business, and you'll walk away with super clear action steps specifically for you and your business. You'll be re-energized and motivated to step into your greatness. You'll also find all of the show notes for each episode on the website sensitiveceo.show. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe to the Short and Sweet newsletter. You'll get weekly recommendations and tips, especially for HSPs, empaths, and introverts. And as the name implies, the email is short and sweet. The Sensitive CEO Show, igniting your sensitive superpowers.